You are listening to the second hour in the scintillating drama that is the Arizona audit.
Whew. Yeah.
I know, and it is a scintillating drama.
This is going to make a great movie.
It is. And if you're not paying attention to that, you really should be. Because it's now starting to hit the media, and most of the press is negative, which really means you should start paying attention. Because they're getting close.
Yeah.
So my name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Hey, generator season is here. First big fire we have, PG&E is going to pull the plug, and you're going to need a generator. So go by and see them. They handle the Honda generator line. They've got plenty on hand. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, or you can give them a call at 226-9226. A lot of knowledge down there. Give them a call, and they'll let you know what they got in stock and so forth. Or you can get them online at
Pape Machinery, P-A-P-E.
P-A-P-E.
It's important.
We've
got to do the spelling.
Yeah, papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
Yeah, there you go.
So, back to our guests, Dr. Lyle Rapacki and Claire Lopez. Two of them have tons of credentials, lots in national security. That's really basically where you guys typically, you know, cross paths and collaborate, right, is all on national security stuff?
Yeah, it really has been, but so many aspects of that, right?
Yeah, and this is all part and parcel because we've, you know, I mean, this is all part and parcel of that. Hey, Claire, when you were with the CIA, did you do, not necessarily, you know, forensic cyber stuff, but I'm sure there was a lot of cyber stuff that came across your...
No, there wasn't.
Really?
I hate to tell you, but I am so old that when I first started...
Oh, my God. She said the O word.
We did not have computers, and we did not have cell phones. Now, I had been introduced to computers in grad school before I went into the government service. But when we first started out, I'm telling you what, we were using IBM selective typewriters, and there were no cell phones. Until later.
When I met Bill, we were using an IBM selective typewriter. I had to type contracts for the equipment business. So, yeah, we predate that.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were.
But that wasn't, I mean, that was never my field anyway. I'm like Lyle. I am a non-geek kind of person. I do have a daughter who's a millennial, and so she helps me when I get in trouble. And if she can't figure it out, her fiancé can. So that's how I get through.
Well, we're pretty decent with computers, but we're not good with computer games. We bought one time. It was called CivNet, and it was where you take over the world. It was kind of like the computerized version of Risk. And you know how Risk was, you know, you could never stop playing. So we thought, hey, this would be great. So we had this computer, you know, the big box. We brought it home, and we dragged two chairs in front of it on a Friday after work, and we started playing this game. You start with, like, a little man with a spear, and then he, like, takes over the world. And, Saturday morning, we were like awash in pizza boxes. We were still wearing the same clothes, and we hadn't showered. It's like, okay, let's take a shower, pack up this game, go to work, and give it to somebody else. We obviously have a problem, so yeah, that was our big foray. So you spied on people for real. You had to actually spy on actual humans. You didn't get to just like peep on them through their electronics.
Oh, I'm no cyber, you know, as I said, no cyber geek at all whatsoever.
But the game of
I don't know how to do those things.
But the game of dirty tricks. And the cheating and the, you know, all the things that bad guys in foreign countries and bad guys in our own country would do to undermine our republic. I mean, my guess is it hasn't changed much. Just method, right?
I mean, I served in places which shall go unnamed to protect the guilty, but... I will name Venezuela. I served in Venezuela. I spent 2 years there.
Oh, so you know just how they do stuff.
So, yeah, I mean, this is before Hugo Chavez was actually, by the way, he was voted into office. Hello?
Yeah.
I was there during the time when he actually staged two aborted coups d'etat. He he was a colonel in the army of Venezuela at the time, and tried to overthrow the government with a coup d'etat. They put it down very quickly. You know, middle of the night, the radios. We had radios, by the way. This was our connectivity. We had Motorola radios the size of, you know, bricks you could kill somebody with. And that's how we stayed connected in a network with the rest of the embassy. And they go off in the middle of the night, Es un golpe de Estado. And they put it down very quickly, put him in jail, arrested all the coup leaders. They're all in jail. Like, a few months later, they let him all out of jail again. So what does he do? Again, he stages, Hugo Chavez, another coup d'etat attempt. And likewise, this one was put down very quickly, back to jail. And I think he spent a few years in jail this time. But then they let him out again, and then they let him run for president. And then he won the presidency. And
wow.
Never, ever was voted out until he died. And then his hand-picked successor, Nicolas Maduro, who, by the way, his credentials include being a bus driver before he became president of the country, succeeded Hugo Chavez and been in there ever since 2013.
Hmm. With the help of crooked voting machines.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
It does look that way.
Actually, what Claire's talking about in Venezuela was replicated here.
Uh-huh.
That's something uh-huh. else that you are going to find out, but we're telling you now, and Colonel Waldron and I shared it on the show. In essence, what took place this last election was on parity, if not even more serious than Pearl Harbor. We did not have the burning buildings and ships, but an attack on the United States occurred, and the attack was highly successful on Pearl Harbor, but also in this last election. It has violated our sanctity, our integrity of voting, our feelings of safety, the integrity of our election and our representation. And it really has undermined the United States in a horrific manner. If what comes out of the Maricopa County audit is what I believe will come out, and as soon as it starts to be revealed, three other state legislatures are preparing to follow suit. And then on top of that, five additional states are now in various stages of preparing and investigating. So that's eight additional states above Arizona. That's half the number of states that were impacted by this last election. We now know 15 states plus Arizona, 16, had the same systems and the same shutdowns and the same collusion and the same fraud. So Arizona took the lead, and the rest of the nation has been watching. And it has been an uphill battle, a horrific battle. It's still ongoing, but inch by inch, what is taking place is an audit, a forensic audit of the machinery, which has already been done 2 weeks ago, and now the ballots, and associated materials. And what will come out of this is either A, there's nothing there, everything was literally okey-doke, then I will just say, parentheses, then why is everybody putting up such a stink? Why are they deliberately lying and thwarting this thing if there's nothing there? That's a question that the supervisors and other people will not answer. Secondly, if what is there is what we believe is there, then we have a constitutional crisis on our hands this nation does not face,
mm-hmm.
because we have an occupant in the White House that was not duly elected.
So if let's play a little what if. Okay, so Arizona comes out and says, okay, lots of fraud. We've proved it. We're going to start naming names. And the other 16 states are going, uh-oh. How big of a chance do you think there'll be that a lot of these other legislatures are going to look at this and go, you know what, guys, there was fraud. We don't want to go here because this is going to be catastrophic to our government if we go down this road. So let's just let it go.
Well, I will say to you that we've already been in touch with other states, and they realize that if they don't go ahead and get to the bottom of this, there will be a catastrophic consequences anyway.
Okay.
Secondly, three additional states, as I've just mentioned, are seriously investigating and reinvestigating. In other words, they started, then they stopped because they saw all the problems associated with Arizona, all the heartburn, all the attacks, and they stopped. Well, they've begun again, and there are three state legislatures outside of Arizona that are now in various stages of getting ready to move ahead with their own formal investigations. Forensic teams have already been on the ground, not the ones that are here in Arizona. Colonel Waldron's team has been on the ground in a couple of states. There are five additional states beyond the three that have now reopened the whole question of the fraud issue and the hearings that they began a few months ago, and then they quickly stopped. So that leaves eight additional states beyond Arizona that are now putting back to the forefront the whole question of the November 6th election. This is magnitude that we've never been through.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
And indeed, the results of Arizona come through in what I think will be proven. And I can make that statement because I'm not part of the audit, so I'm not prejudiced. In other words, I don't have a preconceived notion that will alter any work that I'm doing, because I'm not involved with that. I've been allowed the privilege of doing what, and I love the conversation you had with Claire, Aaron, about operations with the CIA and all that. She's really, really smart, and she really, really does know super secret squirrel stuff, what we call it in the business. But I do human intel, and I think that's Claire might validate that we're in juxtaposition like that. It's an area of human intel, and then I've gone on and did political intelligence. And what I mean by political intelligence, it's not to get something on a political person, but it's to deal with the problems politically and to see if you can come up with answers to keep something like this from happening in the first place.
So do you think that regardless of whether they pursue it in Arizona, will the information come out? I mean, will the findings come out? Okay.
Yes. I will tell you that we're in some very, very tricky waters. And I'm not being funny, and I'm not being defensive, and I'm not giving a plausible deniability. The truth is going to come out. Too much is at stake. As Claire said also, our very national integrity is at stake. And too many people across this nation are livid. They're livid at what they believe has happened, what preliminary evidence has already come forward, and now the results of an election that appears highly fraudulent. And now what we've got is a government that's Marxist in shaping under Biden.
And you know, I think people would care a lot. I think there would be a lot of emotion. I think that would all be happening. But I think that just the raw anger is being really driven and fueled by the fact that, the full-on capture of our mainstream media and all the little talking heads in our current puppet regime under Biden, all they tell you is that all this is part of the big lie, just part of the big lie. And people know that that's not true. And they're sick of being told that, and they're sick of being told that they're basically stupid.
Well,
and
the
that
fact
that they fell for a, quote, big lie.
Right.
That they know isn't a lie.
But the information hasn't come out yet. And I think that's part of the big frustration, too, is they're just tired of waiting.
But I'll interject here because tremendous amount of information has come out, and people have watched it on TV.
Exactly.
Many have even taken the trouble to read texts and, of statements made.
Yeah.
And even if they don't understand all the scientific terminology and exactly what the cyber, you know, things mean, they got the drift.
Oh, yeah.
And I speak to groups all over the country. So
this particular audit, this particular audit thing hasn't come out yet, but, yeah, lots of other stuff has.
Oh, yeah, but no, tons about it has come out. That's what people don't understand. There's an enormous amount of information about it already in the public sphere.
True. And, you know...
That's correct. And what Claire is saying is, I just want to dovetail in on what Claire is saying, and that is so very true, and people much more sophisticated than I am have worked awfully hard these last 7 months. I know I'm exhausted, and there are people who are even closer to this than I who are far more exhausted. It's been a daunting task these last 7 months, very tiring, very costly in many ways, which we won't talk about today. But if you go back, and I don't mean to be self-serving or pretentious, I really don't, you guys. Go back, for goodness sakes, just go back to Arizona Today on Prescott E! News.
That's what I was just going to tell people, is they definitely should go look.
I was speaking at a function the other day, 1,500 people, and I tried to lay out a bunch of things, and somebody was suggesting what you were suggesting, Aaron. I'm not picking on you, but you're saying what Claire said is so right on. And I said the same thing. I said, you know, sir, with all due respect to you, you're absolutely wrong, and I don't have the emotional patience to sit here and listen to this garbage. Information has gone out, and you may not be getting it from the right sources, but information is being released. It's being released very systematically, very soberly, and in a most responsible way, because there's stuff we can't release just yet for reasons you won't accept anyway, so why even talk to you about it?
Yeah, because they're going to say, well, it's not done yet, so why are you telling us that?
Go back to my programs on Arizona Today at Prescott E! News and look at the shows that I did with Colonel Waldron, Phil Waldron. And what you're going to see are two programs specifically, parts one and two. And I broke it up on purpose, parts one and two, two different times, two different shows. That's four programs where we begin to open up the curtain and we begin, as Claire was just talking about, releasing valid, responsible information. And so the people across the nation, we the people, are very angry, are very annoyed, because we know we've been duped. We may not have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted, but there's enough information that's now validated to show that we've been duped.
I'm gonna add those as a special link. I have the Prescott E! News link on there, but I will pull those out and link them so that they're
easy
for people to find. And we have to take a quick break, but we're going to be back. What are you looking at me for?
Oh, I was just waiting for my part.
I like it better when I can catch you unaware. You're jamming my jam. Yeah. You can find us at We the People Radio.
.us.
I moved out to Langley recently with a plain and simple dream. Wanna infiltrate some third world place and topple their regime. Those men in black with their mansion suitcases, where everything's on a need-to-know basis. Agents got that swagger, everyone's so cloak and dagger. I'm feeling nervous, but I'm really kinda wishing for an undercover mission. That's when the red alert came on the radio, and I put my earpiece on. Got my dark sunglasses on, and I had my get my handcuffs, my cyanide pills, my classified dossier. Combing the phones like, shredding the files like, I memorized all the enemy's spies. I gotta neutralize today. Yeah, it's a party in the CIA. Yeah, it's a party in the CIA. Out, shed my skin.
It was either that or play the second part of the Party in the CIA for Claire. Oh.
I hear the, the drumming in my head. Yeah. You know, yeah. I said earlier, and I want to correct myself, that the information hasn't come out. I know the information has come out, but I think where the frustration is all this stuff we've been hearing, and still we're just, you know, we have the feeling that we're not doing anything. We're, you know, nothing's ever been done. Nobody's going to jail.
Resolved. There's no, you know, end point yet, but we haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
What
Lon's
talking about is that they're still working at it, and not just Arizona. But how many other states are primed and prepped to follow?
Right. And I agree. I mean, this is bigger than anything I think our country's ever gone through, short of the Civil War. But we've never been here before, and I think a lot of people are scared to death where this is going to lead, and don't really know what's going to happen.
Good point.
Yeah.
Hey, do either of you have any idea? Like, okay, let's just pretend. All the things that are possible, like they cheated on the actual physical ballots, they cheated on the electronics, they completely cooked the books, and it was, say it's 200,000 votes off. Does anybody know what would happen? Like, if that's all definitively proven, what would happen?
You know, I mean, it basically, I think, it will certainly wind up in Congress.
Okay.
And it may very well wind up in the Supreme Court. There's no other place this can go. It has to go there.
Well, it's interesting because what I've learned is what Claire just said, is if it shows not just Arizona, but then these other states like dominoes begin to fall, it will go to Congress where each state gets one vote.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the Supreme Court, if you remember, chose not to take up these cases. So they've not been prejudiced. They have not heard these cases. So that is still an avenue that can be reached. You'll recall that they refused to listen to Sidney Powell. They refused to listen to some of the other cases that were being brought, or the charges that were being brought. One can make a whole deal out of that. With the Chief Justice, and he's a rhino. But
well, in a way, is that a good thing?
The fact of the matter is they chose not to accept or entertain these cases associated with election fraud. So therefore, they haven't dealt with them. So that is still an avenue, as Claire was just pointing out. But ultimately, it will go to the Congress. Now, before that, Arizona, anyway, will have to decertify their electors, and that's another problem. Each state will have to do the same thing.
Oh.
We're in some very ticklish waters here, folks.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, this is really bad news for our republic when something like this happens, and if it's proven that it's happened, we're going to have to make some hard choices.
Would you have to?
We have to go through it. Or the republic failed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like the Civil War, we had to go through it, or that would have been the end of the Union. We have to go through it, however difficult the pathway may be, if we are to save the republic. That is what the stakes are.
Well, tell me this. How would it work? How do you even want to ask this? Like the whole paper ballot and the electronics, can one state have enough? I mean, I realize every state does have an impact, but do you have to wait until the other states potentially look into their election, or would the results of Arizona be enough to kick it up to the, you know, Supreme Court and all that? Or does anybody even know?
I'm not sure I even really understand your question.
Well, do you have to have more states come forward? Do you have to have enough people to show that the national election was affected in more than just one spot before it would say go to the Supreme Court, or you know they would revisit the outcome of the entire election? Or is it
yeah?
Just,
how much do they have to see?
Yeah,
before
or does it
they...
go just state by state by state?
No, I'm not a lawyer, but I
come on, you stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, haven't you?
Well, two weeks ago, I was at Holiday Inn Express.
I rest my case.
Okay, I do too. We're adjourned.
Who says we're not lawyers?
If Arizona's audit comes forward with absolute proof to the numbers that I mentioned earlier, then that's a very, very serious problem for Arizona. That throws into question the certification of the electors for Arizona, because Biden did not win Arizona then. Trump did. If that's the case, following the same pattern of audit and the forensic evaluations in at least three states and five others that are now looking at it, so eight more states, I would have reason to think that would speed up their process, because Arizona's already done the labor over all these months, that they can now speed it up. They won't have to have a necessary legislative hearing. They'll just move right toward what Arizona's done, which is to have the Senate in their state go ahead and subpoena and start the process. So that will be a quicker process than what Arizona's gone through. If the results come out and dominoes begin to fall, then very quickly I think what we will see is appeal to the Supreme Court and then also to the Congress to delay the last election. After that, I don't think anyone knows what the hell would happen. We've never been down this road, and so there's no rule book. There's no guidepost. There's a slight written understanding in our Constitution. But we've never been down this road, guys, in our whole nation.
Yeah.
And Claire's right. If we fail to do this, our republic's over.
Yeah,
because what does republic mean? The actual word republic is from two Greek words. I'm sorry, Latin words. Res publica. Res means the thing. Publica means public. The public thing. What is the public thing in America? It's the Constitution. Mm-hmm. It's the law. That's why we are not, Greek word, a democracy, rule mm-hmm. of the majority, of the demos, the people.
Right.
We're a republic with democratic features, you know, elected representational government. But we are a constitutional republic, the law.
Yeah.
Well, we have been up until now.
Well, yeah. And it cracks me up that people think it's majority rule. It's really not.
No, it's not. That was greatly said, see. That really is. We're a republic, and our republic was assaulted, not even assaulted. I think Phil Waldron corrected me one day. He said, wow, it wasn't even assaulted. We were under attack. We fell under an attack, much like Pearl Harbor. And we're in some deep
except
trouble.
Except that it was internal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what really makes it different. That attack
yes.
was internal. Yes, there were external features, and we can talk about some of that. But this plot, and there's no other way to put it. This was a plot. It was internal.
That's correct.
Yeah, any indication that these people also were the same folks who messed around in different states with the results? Can you tell yet?
What do you mean?
Like were the same players, or was all this, because I guess I just don't
believe.
Well,
no, I mean, each state had its own slate of actors, but Democrat Party.
Right. I mean, I don't believe in coincidence, so I'm assuming that the players who worked Arizona also are the ones who would have taken part in other states around the country altogether.
Well, I think Kyle said that this whole training thing happened in all these states. So your state attorney state house all had people involved, each state. if I'm understanding it correctly.
I'm dying to see how they all tie together. You can't say anything about that yet because probably that's all part of the results package.
Correct.
Drats. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I picture this a bit like one of those crime shows, you know, where you have the murder board and the string that goes from person to person to person. Any idea the hub of it? Are you guys getting a sense of the origin part? Not.
Well, the hub has to be national level, right? I mean, the hub has to be national DNC.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my guess.
There's no other place to go.
Sure.
What I can tell you factually based on evidence, not affidavits, not supposition, hypotheses, theories, all the rest of that stuff, but on evidence that has been received, Russia was not that involved. So this Russia is crap.
Yes.
Were they at least interested? Yes. Did they participate a wee bit? Yes. But then stop. Just stop with the Russia crap.
What about China?
And no, I'm not a Russia defender.
I don't have the emotional energy.
Yeah. But China was the predominant benefactor as well as instigator. Six other nations were involved. Two satellites. Tremendous amount of money. It's well over $1 billion. Went into this. It was planned 4 years, 5 years in advance. When Hillary did not win, that set them off. And they pulled it off, as Claire said in the top of the show, very sophisticatedly, very smoothly, like they did with Cesar Chavez. Venezuela was involved in this also. Two satellites.
Chavez? Hugo Chavez, huh?
I mean, Hugo Chavez. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Claire. Hugo Chavez and Venezuela was involved in this latest attack on the United States. Same system as they used, 3-4 years ago, I think, wasn't it, Claire, with Hugo?
Were the paper ballots as big a factor as the electronic counting? I mean, you mentioned that they had proof that a lot of the paper ballots were phony. I don't know if you can tell us, but how can you tell if a ballot is fake?
Arizona is getting ready to launch a brand new ballot that will be the state of the art for the nation. It will be on my show probably in another week or two. We'll show it to you. It's similar to our money where you can try to counterfeit it, but you'll be able to tell that it's a counterfeit ballot. That's all I can say right now. But
okay.
Well, remember the testimony that's been given very publicly in a couple of places, Arizona for one, by, what's his first name, Jason Pulitzer.
Mm-hmm.
Is his first name Jason? Pulitzer, anyway. And he's a forensic expert who can and has looked at paper ballots and described their features. He's done this in public testimony, sworn affidavit testimony in multiple places. So we know this is already a factor.
Right.
It was a combination of ballots that were quickly brought into various states and voting sections, precincts. They were both counterfeit ballots and ballots that were altered. The vote was altered on the brand new ballot to take the place of those that were cast. And then secondly, the machinery was altered, as Claire has already talked about, as we've learned in Venezuela, where you can do fractionalized voting.
Right.
And that has been proven also. So it was a two-for hit, if you will.
Yeah. And that's, I guess, when you can alter a machine, it really does kind of void any paper ballots you stick in it. I mean, it really doesn't matter what you put on the paper ballot if the machine's going to count the way it wants to count.
But you see, they've got it covered multiple ways.
Yeah,
right.
I apologize to Mr. Pulitzer. I mangled his name his first name is Jovan.
Jovan. I knew Pulitzer. It was a tricky name.
Yeah, apologies to Mr. Pulitzer.
Yeah, so it was kind of a multi-pronged attack.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah.
But
think of it as layering, you know, layering offensive. You think of the Israeli defense system as layered defense of against incoming missiles. This is a layered offense, if you will, of various voting alleged irregularities and fraud and cheating.
Well, I think hopefully it turns out like everything else they do. They're evil, but they're not geniuses. So,
well. Couple that with the fact they always go too far.
Well, they always overreach.
Aaron, you're making a valid point, because one of the other things that will come out, it's already come out, and we've already talked about it, not on this show, but Colonel Walden and I did. Let's say there's a state or a county or a precinct where you have 1,000 people that can vote totally. Well, what they did is they shut down the precinct. Then they reopened it, and they had 5,000 people vote. Well, that's 4,000 more than even live in the precinct.
Right.
And this is evidence that we have seen over and over again. So this is evidence. It's not speculation. It's not hypothesis. We have that evidence. We have evidence of 25 people voting at a Chick-fil-A, for instance.
That was the address they used?
Yes.
Brilliant. Like, I'm sure nobody could figure that out. We have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back talking about the Arizona audit. And for those of you that haven't been paying attention, well, it's not too late. You can catch up. You can go to wethepeopleradio.us.
They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing.
You ever loved someone so much you thought your little heart was gonna break in two?
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back, though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked. For good.
Yes.
Not closing my eyes.
So, you know, can you highlight any other, let's say, missteps? It's too late for them to correct their missteps, but, you know, basic stuff like mixing up paper, having too many people in a polling place, that kind of stuff.
Well, chain of custody was another one.
Yeah. Chain of custody issues have been a problem. I think what we're going to find, not just in Arizona, but that's where I'm speaking of, is a number of elected officials who, instead of doing what they were sworn to do, which is to protect and defend the Constitution and we the people, they've chose to compromise their positions and go for the quick, the expedient, the self-serving. That's what's happened in Arizona. We have a number of public officials, elected officials, who instead of standing up for the integrity of our system and for protecting the people, which is what they're supposed to do when they take office, they've chosen to turn their backs on the people and to promote self-serving interests. I think we're going to find the same thing across the nation. And what's really happening here is we're seeing a dichotomy between those people who are patriots and are willing to, like our forefathers, put their lives, their fortunes, their businesses, and their reputations on the line, versus those that are looking for an expedient way out. I think that's what Claire was beginning to share when it comes to the unrest that is just boiling across this country.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this in between there, and I was mentioning that I think the confluence of issues and events and anger are going to, that confluence is going to boil over this summer. And I was saying that it's already begun again. Some of you and the listeners may know that the Jewish people celebrated Shavuot, the holiday of Shavuot, last week, which ended on Tuesday, the 11th of May. And that is, of course, the commemoration of the giving of the Torah to the Jewish people. Well, it ended on Tuesday night, and immediately, in places like the Fairfax neighborhood of Los Angeles in California, mobs came out in cars waving Palestinian flags on foot and simply looking for Jews to attack, asking people on the street, are you Jewish? Who's Jewish? And then attacking them. In Brooklyn, of course, we've seen the horrific videos, you know, singling out people who are dressed as Jews so they're identifiable and simply attacking them on the street for that. But this is Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, here's the connection. Black Lives Matter movement, of course, completely backed, supported by both the Muslim Brotherhood in this country and the Chinese Communist Party. So there's your red, black, green axis, and I think it's going to come together this summer again, even as it did last summer.
Yeah, it's almost like they're looking for a reason to just burn it down. You know, it doesn't make sense.
They are looking for a reason, any reason, to collapse this nation.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think one of the other concerns that has been voiced by citizens is that as these audits begin to reveal the high level of sophisticated attack that this nation sustained, as that becomes evident, not hypothetical, I think you're going to have these radical groups step up all the more to punish that this has come forward, and the Dems won't say a word.
Mm. Yeah, it's amazing to me. You know, I'm not that old, but you know, when you had a riot in the past, or you had civil unrest, or whatever, I mean, it was taken care of pretty quickly, and you know, the root causes were figured out, and things went back to normal. We've never gone back to normal. I mean, you look at Portland and Seattle, and you know, some of these cities that just.
It's
you know,
never
every week it's something else that they can riot about, and it's allowed, it's tolerated.
Right, because the reason is the revolution, the communist revolution, isn't done yet.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is never the issue. Poverty, policing in inner city areas or what have you, that is not the issue.
That's
it's
a
never
great
the
point.
Issue.
Yeah.
The issue is the revolution. And the revolution is not done until the system falls completely. It's exactly what Lyle was just saying. And it will go on for whatever reason, and in particular in these places that are ruled by Democrat mayors, governors. You know, I hesitate to even call them Democrat. They are Marxists.
Socialist Marxists.
And they... How this is totally a subjective question, so this is just, you know, your
I'll go
opinion,
ahead, let it fly.
How coordinated do you think all this is? I mean,
very coordinated.
Very coordinated.
Because it feels
Antifa,
really.
For example,
yeah.
Antifa has cells all over the United States, totally interconnected and connected to Western European cities, and they have done training in the Middle East. That's Antifa. Black Lives Matter movement is intimately connected with all of the Muslim Brotherhood front groups like CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, and also with the Chinese Communist Party. I'll tell you the story of the Houston consulate someday. It's very interconnected. Antifa and BLM, they train together, they go to classes on Marxism together, and they go to the gyms together to learn street tactics. And they operate on the street together, totally interconnected.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's...
Read Andy Ngo's book. If you want to learn more about some of this, Andy Ngo, the citizen reporter journalist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Andy Ngo, NGO. It's called Unmasked. I just finished it a while ago. very good book that'll give you a lot of insights on this kind of stuff.
Yeah, Andy's last name is spelled N-G-O, even though it's
N-G-O, no.
Yeah, last N-G-O. I heard he had to leave the country for the safety of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had to flee the country from his home city of Portland, Oregon, because the local police and FBI refused to help him or give him any kind of protection or go after those who were constantly peppering him with not just real attacks, but death threats. So he fled the country to London, to Britain.
Right.
Andy Ngo is now in Britain.
Yeah.
Because
is that
if
a turnabout or what?
Yeah, if you report on these guys, there's no tolerance. Just out of curiosity, Lyle, the people that are pressing for the audit to go forward, how I know, you know, things happen, but ballpark, how long do you think it will take for the audit to complete? Or is that just kind of depends on where it goes?
It starts again tomorrow.
Okay.
And it will take, they're looking at 3 weeks.
Okay. And then is the data crunching happening concurrently, or does that happen after? You know what I mean? Like, will they have findings at the end, or does it take time for them to pull that?
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard reporting that there will not be a final report until the fall.
Okay, that's kind of what I was wondering.
That's correct. But that's correct. A final, formal, full and complete report.
Yeah, like October, November.
But there will be findings
reported.
There will be findings that most likely will be leaked.
Yeah, sure.
And I think as that information leaks out, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure to have some kind of resolution. So I don't think they'll be able to hold off forever.
Yeah. Correct. Well, you could always come and leak them on here, and I don't know. You could call Anthony Weiner or maybe Mitt Romney to come up with a fake name for you, because they're both really good at that.
Yeah.
We have Carlos Danger and Pierre Delecto. the bar's pretty low. You can come up with pretty much anything. And yeah, sky's the limit.
I just may come over and be invited to come over to your area and give a speech. Maybe Claire and I can come over and do a presentation.
Oh, that'd be super fun.
Take a few days off and just.
Oh, that would be so much fun, you know?
Really would. You guys are more than welcome, and you know, I guarantee you, I guarantee you there'd be a nice big crowd. It'd be super safe too, because you know we're the majority here, so
yeah,
our rabble goes down pretty quick.
Yeah,
they're in the process of crushing a few very large drug cartels actually at the moment, running them out of town just north of us. So that's good news too. So, you know, we're not even going to be awash in drug cartels. You guys can have the whole place to yourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
And then we'll just stay at a Holiday Inn.
There you go. And then you can be a lawyer.
You can go back totally qualified.
Yes. Then you're the lawyer. Oh, my God.
Talk about anything.
Exactly. We'll do our show about nothing that we've talked about doing.
We still need to do that sometime.
I know we do. Well, thank you guys for coming on. And so I did pick out the perfect last song for you, you know, since we are talking road trip. And so this could be like a theme setter for you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Awesome.
Thanks for coming on, guys. You betcha.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Join us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Bye-bye.